Today our focus passage is 1 John chapter 4, and we're going to read together the first 19 verses. In this the love of God was made manifest among you, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, that not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be, this is a big word, let's say it together, propitiation. You guys didn't even really try. Let's say it one more time. Listen, people go to seminary to learn this word. If you use this word at work tomorrow, people are going to go, dang, you smart. Let's say it together. Propitiation. There you go. For our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us because he gave us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So that we have come to know and believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And wherever abides whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in them. By this love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. God is love. That's what the Bible says. Now, this communicates a feeling, but it's also communicated through an action. God is love. He communicates that not only through his word. We have his written word, the Bible, amen. We have the Old Testament, amen. We have his word, but he also expresses it in deeds, in actions. DC Talk had a song back in the day, Love is a Verb. I know I'm showing my age. I'd like to introduce you to Ethel and Earl. You can go ahead and laugh. You don't know them. Ethel and Earl have been married 50 years. And they look happy about it, don't they? Ethel and Earl were sitting at breakfast, and Earl says, Ethel? She goes, huh? You upset? Uh-uh. You sure nothing's wrong? Nope. Well, Ethel, I am just not, I'm sensing. Look at this face. He's not Einstein. If you see this face, gentlemen, there's a problem. Ethel, what is your problem? Well, Earl, 50 years ago when we got married, you used to tell me you loved me. You told me that you loved me, and for 50 years now, I've not heard you say it. Well, Ethel, I said it then, and if something changes, I'll let you know. Uh-huh. Cassie, is there a problem? Every day. True love, ladies and gentlemen, true love is never static. There's nothing in this world that's static other than a lifeless body. Nothing in this world is static. True love is never inactive. True love is always in motion. And the Bible says that God is love. He says it, but his actions reinforce it. So what is Christmas? Why are we thinking about those things? Let's look. First of all, we want to look at the joy of knowing. Stay with me. Verse 9. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us. That word manifest. Remember, we talked about a couple weeks ago, we talked about worry or anxiety, and we got the picture of a divided mind. Well, today we're going to look at the word manifest. What does that word mean? The Bible says that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created what's on the earth and in the waters and all those things. He created Adam and Eve, and they were perfect. And they live in a place that God had created for them called the Garden of Eden. And in the Garden of Eden, all things were perfect. Their relationship was perfect. Creation was perfect. Their relationship with God was perfect. We don't know what that feels like. Now, you can get close to it at times, but you and I have never experienced a perfect relationship. And then if you're familiar with the account, one day sin entered in. And some would say, well, Eve ate him out of house and home. No, it was shared responsibilities. Genesis 3:23 tells us, therefore the Lord sent them out from the garden to work the ground from which he was taken. You see, a holy God always has to hold into account sinfulness. He doesn't take joy in it, but his holiness requires it. If you're a parent and you've ever had to discipline your children, we shouldn't take joy in it, but it's something that's necessary out of love because we know it's what's best for them in the long term. Deuteronomy 3:31-6 says this. Well, you might be saying, well, Jimmy, when God set Adam and Eve out of the garden because of their sinfulness, did God abandon them? You see, the world today, many in the world will tell you today that God has just abandoned us. If there even is a God. Look at the state of the world. How can there be a God? And if there is, he's just abandoned us. We're like a top. He's just wound us up and set us free to bounce around through life. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's just not true. Deuteronomy tells us this. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Have you ever felt that way? I have. There's been times in my life that I felt God may have forsaken me. But the Bible says that even though God separated himself from Adam and Eve because of their sin, he will not abandon us. Can I tell you this? God has not abandoned our nation. God has not abandoned our world. God has not abandoned you as an individual or you as a family. God has not abandoned our community. God does not abandon, for where shall we go that God is not there? God is omniscient. He's all-knowing. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. Well, now, wait a minute. So what does manifest mean? There was a perfect relationship years ago that was broken by the sinfulness of man, and God set them apart because of their sinfulness. And so if you can imagine with me, the Bible says that they could hear God walking in the garden. There was an intimacy that was different. And so God backs up. There's a space between his creation and the creator. There's a space in there. God never abandoned us, but he only was present to us in images. One of them is Moses and the burning bush. Moses goes up on the mountaintop and here's this bush. It's burning, but it's not being consumed. And God says, take your shoes off. You're standing on holy ground. God is manifest in the bush, but you can't see God. You see his manifestation. And he has fellowship with Moses, and he instructs Moses. And then later on, Moses is leading the children of Israel out of the bondage of Egypt, and they stand on the shoreline of drowning ahead of the army of death. And God says, let me manifest myself. Moses, simply raise your arms. Oh, can you imagine what that scene was when Moses stepped to the edge of the Red Sea and he raises his arms and God goes. You couldn't see God, but you could see the manifestation of God. And then the Bible goes on and says, as the children of Israel were wandering through the wilderness, God would manifest himself at night in a pillar of fire, the greatest nightlight ever. And during the day, there was a cloud, a pillar of clouds, and they would follow him. His presence was manifested, but you couldn't see God. And then there was the temple where they worshiped. God says, build me a place of worship, and here's how you'll worship, and when you'll worship, and why you'll worship. And it was very static, and it was very regimented, and it had to be functioned by faith. And there was a closest, but there wasn't an intimacy. I remember when my son was born, he was jaundiced. And we were fortunate enough that he didn't have to stay in the hospital. We were able to take him home, but we had to put him in a rubella bed. And he had these little sunglasses that he would wear. And they said he has to stay in his rubella bed for 55 minutes an hour. And you can hold him for 5 minutes an hour. And we would lay him in that rubella bed, and we were intimate. We were close, but we weren't intimate. You wanted to hold him. You wanted to snuggle him, and he'd cry, and he would shake, and you wanted to comfort him, but you couldn't. You were close, but you weren't intimate. And there was nothing greater than the day when the rubella bed went away, and now you could hold that little boy anytime you wanted. God says, I will have a time of worship. I will have a time of closeness with you, but we will not be intimate. There was a large curtain, a veil in the temple that you weren't allowed to go in. And God's presence was behind there, and he was there, and you were here, and you didn't get to go in there. There was a closeness, but there wasn't an intimacy. God manifested himself in a place of worship, in a process of worship, in a purpose of worship. Galatians 4 tells us this, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman and born under the law. What does the fullness of time mean? God said it was time. You see, God in eternity past, before he spoke any of this into existence, knew there would be a fullness of time in which he would have to manifest himself. God was not surprised when Adam and Eve sinned. You say, well, how unfair is that? Well, God says, I love you. I give you a choice. You get to make your choice, but you get held accountable to your choice. And then there was the first Noel. In the first hour, we talked about the chaos of the first Christmas night. Can you imagine the chaos of what was going on? Joseph is the stepfather to the Son of God. Mary is the unknowing and unplanned pregnant teenage woman who is delivering the Son of God. It was mayhem, ladies and gentlemen. But what was the first Noel? The same God who back in the garden had perfect relationship with Adam and Eve that was severed by the sinfulness of man, over these centuries had manifested himself through burning bushes and parted oceans and pillars of clouds. Now, the God of all eternity, the God of all creation, has a face. What does God look like? Just look to Jesus. Can I ask you this? What does an eternal, holy God think when he sees his Son for the first time with a human face? What do the angels of heaven think when they look down and they see the holy, righteous, eternal Son of God wrapped in the body of an infant? You see, to be manifest means to come out into the open and to be made public. Christmas, The first Noel and every Noel is the celebration of God going, here I am, this is what I look like. I'm no longer out there. I'm no longer in there. I'm right here. Only by becoming a man can God save mankind. God stepped out of the shadows of the temple. God stepped off the shore of the Red Sea and stepped into humanity as one of us. God manifested himself. What is Christmas? God says, I'm here to live with you, to walk with you, to cry with you, to hunger with you. I'm here. Oh, my goodness. He went from the penthouse to the stable. You ever think about it? You say, oh, well, God became man. You go, that's great. Why would he become an infant? Why would he be born in a cave, laying in the hay left over from animals? Why would he humble himself in such a way? The first Noel is the manifestation, and Jesus continues to manifest himself here at his public declaration of his ministry, his baptism. Matthew says this, and Jesus submitted himself to be baptized by John the Baptist. And behold, a voice of heaven said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. God is manifesting himself. Not only God the Son as Jesus is baptized, not only God the Father as he speaks from heaven, but God the Holy Spirit as the dove lands on his shoulder. You see the Trinity of God in this one place. Jesus says, I am here. The joy of giving, verses 9 and 10, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us, and he sent his Son to be, there's our big word, propitiation. What does that mean? So God manifests. That means he steps into the public. He goes, here I am. For the propitiation, that means Christ's atonement satisfies the righteous wrath of God. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Propitiation means this, that when Jesus stepped into humanity, he stepped into humanity for a purpose. He was going to pay our sin debt, your sin debt. I'm going to walk over here because I am roasting, and I'm going to turn this down. And, yeah. You like that? I can promise you, no other church today did the preacher walk down and turn the thermostat down. I'm thanking God for the heat. We're just blessed. Overly blessed. Jesus wasn't born just to be born. Jesus wasn't born to give us an incredibly great holiday season. Jesus wasn't born just on a whim. Jesus was born with a price on his head. Herod the Great feared this king of the Jews, and he put a price on him. Says, when you find him, kill him. Christ had a payment in his hands. What payment? The payment for sin. Whose sin? Yours and mine. That infant's hands were full. Christ was born with you in mind. That first Noel, when Jesus cried his first cry, you were on his mind. He was being made manifest for you and me, that he might become, what was the word? Propitiation. He was born to pay a price that I could not pay. He was born to pay a price that you cannot pay. The joy of giving. And then we have the joy of receiving. Whoever. Whoever. Do you like that word? Who is whoever? Whoever. It's a good word, isn't it? Whoever. Whoever. You know what? That's me. I'm whoever. Verse 15 and 16. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So that we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. To know and to believe and to know. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God. And God abides in him. The more I know, the more I believe. And the more I believe, the more I know. That's the beauty of Christmas. Can I say this? Christmas means more to me now as a 50-year-old than it did to me as a 10-year-old. Why? It's not the gifts, and those are all fine. It's that I know more today than I did then. I believe more today than I did then. When I sit around and I ponder whether the angels who declared the arrival of the Messiah, how big the crowd they were singing to was, that's a little different perspective, isn't it? When I wonder why there wasn't anyone anywhere in all of Bethlehem, wouldn't even open a tent to a pregnant lady. I don't know. You see, the more we know, the more we trust. The more we trust, the more we know. It's a cycle. Christmas is so much more than all the other wonderful trappings, and I love all of them. I've been listening to, Josh, I've been going hard on the Christmas music, man. If my radio's on, I'm hard Christmas. I'm not as hard as Josh, but I'm hard Christmas. I love Christmas. I love watching people get crazy. I love watching full parking lots and glad I'm not going in them. 5 years, ladies and gentlemen, no Walmart. 5 years. Hadn't been in it. Stood in front of it. I'm not boycotting. I just have a streak. If I had a dollar for every time someone goes, "Where do you get your stuff?" I'm like, "Well, they sell stuff other places." The joy of loving. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. You know, one of the reasons I think Christmas is so unique is because for a little season, the world really tries to love each other. Now, I'm not saying, and I don't want a hand, but I'm going to guess that some of you guys gave a gift to somebody you don't really like that much. But you, and if you put it on my desk, don't tell me. But you know what happens at Christmas is for this time, we start thinking about love and we think about abiding and we think about giving and we think about joy and we go, you know what, I'm going to go that extra mile and I'm going to give maybe your boss something because I want to give them something. They may not appreciate it and I don't necessarily want to go on vacation with them, but I want to give them something. You see, if we gave love, if that was our desire more often, what if we did this every day? What if Christmas really was all year? What if this desire was there and we were willing to act upon that desire? We just wanted to love. If God so loved us, then also we ought to love one another. What is the spirit of Christmas? It's love. Let me tell you, man, when you break open the wallet for someone, you love them. When you find, you know, when you stick your arms in that oven and burn your forearms, that's love, man. We love. And if God abides in us, you know what? We'll love. That's what it is. What does it look like? We love. Who do we love? Everybody. Why? Jesus did. I know this is going to be pretty hard for you to believe, but I haven't always been the likable soul that you know today. And why do we do it? Church, why do we do it? Is it because God will love you more? No, that's a lie of the devil. Is it because everyone will love you? No, that's another lie of the devil. It's because everyone will appreciate it so much. That's a lie. Why do we love? Because God loved us. He loved me. He loved me. He loved me even when I didn't love me. The greatest struggle in Christmas is this, is how do you love enough? The joy of sharing. By this, we know that we abide in Him and He in us because He has given us His Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. In the fullness of time, God manifested Himself in the birth of His Son, Jesus Christ. And His Son manifested Himself at His baptism, and He manifested Himself at His resurrection. And you ever wonder how He manifests Himself in Christmas of 2019? You and me. I'm the manifestation. You're the manifestation. Some 2,000 years ago, God was birthed in a manger. He lived a sinless life. He died on Calvary's hill. He laid in a borrowed tomb. He was resurrected from the dead, and He ascended into heaven. And He says, now go and tell. We are the manifestation. How will the world know that God is love? Us. How will the world know that God says, whosoever? Us. How will the world know? Us. You and me. Individually and collectively. You know, one of the greatest things about Christmas is giving gifts. Don't you love to give? I hope you love to give. I really do, man. I hope you love to give. I love to give. I do. I'd like to think I could win the lottery if I ever played it, and then I could be a big giver, but God hasn't seen fit to let me win the lottery without buying a ticket. I don't know why it's His problem, but if I ever win the lottery, you're going to know it's a double miracle, and I'm not hating on the lottery. I'm just saying. I think God knows maybe I couldn't handle it. Anyway, do you love to give? Does it just bring joy to your soul to give? And it's not just the big things, man. It's the little things. It's letting someone out in traffic. It's holding the door for that lady who doesn't even look at you. This lady the other day, I'm holding the door open. It was cold that day. And I'm holding the door open. And she comes walking. I mean, didn't even look at me. And I thought to myself, yeah, I love you. And I thought, okay, Jesus, I know. I got my reward right here, but you know. Don't you love to give? I spend a great deal of time of thinking about the gifts I've been given over my lifetime. And there have been some really profound gifts. And I confessed to one of my accountability partners recently that my greatest struggle is I just don't think I can give God enough. Not that He'll love me more, Ronnie. God loves me. I'm not trying to make my way into heaven. I'm not trying to cover that last yard. God loves me, and Jesus paid it all. I know that. But I've been given so much. How do I give in proportion to what I've been given? It's my wrestle. And so today, as we close out the Christmas season of our being together, I'd like to offer up three gifts. The first one is this, is if you're here today and you've never received Christ to be your personal Savior, the Bible says if you'll just believe on Him, Jesus can be a part of your life like you've never understood. Christmas can be transformed in a way that you never could comprehend. And it can really and truly begin to transform your life into something that's beautiful, something that's simple, something that has value for this life and life to come. I want you to know, by being one of the whosoevers, it's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And today, it is my joy to manifest to you the truth of Christmas and the gospel. Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. Jesus was resurrected for you. And just like that Christmas gift that you'll be given, all that's left for you to do is receive it. That's all. God holds it out to us every day and every moment, and all we have to do is to receive it. And if you're here today and you've never done that, my friend, I implore you to do it today. I am not selling you church membership. I'm not asking for a dollar of your money. I am simply offering you the greatest gift ever provided of humanity. The second gift is this, where you rejoice. If you're here today and Jesus is your Savior, would you join me and just rejoice in that? My friends, He's alive. My friends, one day heaven. I love Christmas and I'm looking forward to Wednesday, but you know what? One day I'm going to spend Christmas in heaven with you. And so many people who've gone on before me. We have all that this world affords us and heaven too. I have Christmas and Elvis and Listen, if you don't like Elvis Christmas, you might not be saved. And that goes for you, Penland, wherever you are. Brothers and sisters, can I offer you the gift of rejoicing? We have Jesus. And better than that, Jesus has us. And then thirdly, the gift I'd like to offer to you and I is this. Let's go manifest Jesus. Let's go make Jesus visible to our world. I don't care if they don't believe. Belief isn't my job description. I'm in the delivery system. I don't care. I don't care what political party you're in. I don't care. Impeach or unimpeach. I don't care. Red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in His sight. I don't care. Rich or poor, I don't care. Young or old, I don't care. I want to manifest Jesus. So when people go, well, what is Christmas about? It's about Jesus. What does it look like? This is what it looks like. My challenge to us as we leave this place on the doorway of another blessed Christmas is let's go and manifest Jesus. Let them see Jesus in us. Let them go, man, you are just as crazy as it could be, but I like what you're selling. Let them see a joy. Let them see a peace. Let them see a... So I would like for us to take just a moment and just pray. And if you're here today and for the first time in your life, you'd say, Jesus, I want to be a whosoever. I want to receive your gift. This would be that time. For those of us who already know Christ, this would be a great time for us just to sing the praises of the Lord. And let us recommit to be the manifestation of the living Christ this Christmas. Shall we pray together? Oh, Lord, I have a million words in my heart, but one just doesn't seem adequate. God, I thank you that I am a whosoever will. God, I thank you that you manifested your Son for me. God, I thank you that your faith and your love grows inside of me. God, I thank you that I get the privilege of being your manifestation in our world. And Father, today I pray for that one who may be here and who have never received the gift of your Son. Father, I pray right now that in the quietness of their heart, they'll just call out to you. And they'll say, Lord, I want your gift. Lord, I receive your gift. Jesus, come into my life and manifest yourself in me. This Christmas, I receive the Christmas. Father, I pray that you would bless them. Father, I pray that they would have a sense of deep, abiding presence with you this very moment. Lord, that they'll know that your word and your promises are true. Father, for us, your children, we rejoice. Oh, Lord, the world is a crazy place. But we rejoice. Father, we rejoice in the manifested Savior. We rejoice in the propitiation paid. Father, we rejoice in the empty tomb. Father, we rejoice in the returning King of Kings. We rejoice. And Father, today, I pray that we would commit ourselves anew to be the physical manifestation of the God of love. And that we will give, that we will love, and that we will lead people to the cradle of Christmas and the cross of Easter, that they too might become the whosoever. Father, we love you and we thank you for this day. We thank you for this wonderful holiday season. And God, we ask that you would bless us that we might be a blessing in return. For it's in Christ's name we ask. Amen. Invite the ushers to come to receive the morning gifts. Invite the worship team to come. Do want to encourage you guys. Next week we'll have an opportunity for you to give before we go to our host church. But I do want to encourage you to remember your gifts during these last couple of weeks of the holiday season. And also, I want to say this on behalf of my bride and I, a very Merry Christmas to you. Look, I found Santa. And one of us looks really good in his hat. I'm not going to say any names, but it could be this guy. But on behalf of my bride and my son, who's in from college, thank the Lord. We just want to say Merry Christmas. If we don't get a chance to see you Christmas Eve, we want you to know that you're loved and appreciated. And we're going to be praying for your safety wherever Christmas takes you over these next few days. And we pray that you have a wonderful time in the Lord with family and friends. And we hope to see you next Sunday. I hope that you will make every effort to come next Sunday. It's a wonderful experience. It'll be a unique experience to you. Not only will you be blessed, but our host church would be blessed. One of the questions we get every year is, why are you here? We're just here to say we love you. And it is a fun thing when people walk up to me and they go, hey, I remember when you were at our church. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. So let's stand together. We're going to sing as we go. Lord, bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful Christmas. And I'll see you again really, really soon.